Hello and welcome everyone to Stepping Into Sovereignty, Activating the Fierce Love of the Sacred Feminine, where wisdom keepers from all over the globe are summoning up the courage to take decisive and loving action to create the future we desire. I'm your host, Kathy Forrest, founder of Celestial Forrest Institute, and we're here today with my dear friend and colleague, Kaylin Castell. Welcome, Kaylin.
Thank you, Kathy. I love being here with you.
I'm so happy to have Kaylin on the call. She is the co-founder of Venus Alchemy and the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School. She's a Magdalene and Divine Creation High Priestess in the lineage of Nicole Christine. In addition to writing monthly celestial timings for nearly 25 years, she enjoys sharing these mysteries through personal readings and teaching, both online and in-person events, changing lives and perspectives from the visionary understanding that we inform the mysteries as much as they inform us. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so excited to hear you speak into the topic, witnessing the fierce love of the sacred feminine through the cosmos. And I know lots of our listeners are used to seeing you with slides, but today you're going to offer us all of your wisdom, and I'm real excited for that. So when I think about the fierce love of the divine feminine, it feels like we're living in this pressure cooker right now. And so can you say anything about what's going on? Like, I hear people talk about the Pluto, Jupiter, Saturn thing. What is that? And why is it necessary? What is that shift? And what's happening to us, Kaylin?
The old world is dying and a new world is being born. And the death process isn't easy. And neither is the birth process ultimately. And, you know, and it just depends on how much resistance we're in, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're not allowing ourselves to say, okay, I'm ready to let that go, and that's no longer serving, and maybe it was great at one time, not that it was good or bad, mm-hmm. it's just that it's, you know, it's time to change things up. And we can see that happening. In fact, the four pillars of our culture, there's the healthcare system, there's the educational system, there's the economic system, and there's our governmental system, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Those are, like, we could say the four corners or foundational pillars of our culture. And all of them are being challenged now.
Exactly.
Every single one. Because they need to, the old systems have to come down in order for something new to come in. And that's what's happening.
Right.
So, you know, we're going to feel it on all those areas. And there's more, I'm sure. But those four foundational pillars. Mm-hmm. And we could imagine that we've, you know, in a lot of these areas, there hasn't been a lot of sovereignty. You know, we're supposed to do what our doctor tells us. So, you know, the medical system knows more than we do. Mm-hmm. The educational system has been sort of designed to, you know, teach certain things, but it leaves out a lot of other things. And
right.
So, you know, mm-hmm. we're supposed to kind of follow that and what that's all about. And then our economic system is designed for a few, not for everybody.
Right.
And, you know, the people who have the money have the power, and everybody else, oh, well, too bad for you. Mm-hmm. And then the government is bought by the people who have the money.
Exactly. Exactly.
So there's corruption and challenges in every single one of these areas, and shadow, basically. And so when we look at these planets that have come together, they're shining a light on that shadow and mm-hmm. showing us where we haven't been in our own sovereignty. Where we have maybe given our power away to something else and to an idea or to a belief or to a conditioning, whatever that might be. How do we say, okay, enough of that, and how do I step into my own sovereignty, my own knowing, rather than, you know, what I've been conditioned to believe?
Well, that was really my next question, was how can we work with this energy, and what are those implications for us? So as an individual is looking at this, because a lot of it feels like it's systemic and it's out there, but it's happening in here too. So we know there's tons of things that we need to do out there, but it feels to me like maybe we need to attend to this first. So what are things people can do to manage the change versus being in resistance or just overwhelm? Because I think we're all in overwhelm right
now. Yeah, and maybe that's just part of it too. I mean, I think like when we give birth to a baby, we're in overwhelm and exactly. I don't know that we can manage anything. We're just trying to show up and be in that process, right?
Right.
It's not an easy process. Mm-hmm. And somehow we, women get through that. Somehow, that process happens. But part of it is just surrendering to it, because the more we fight it, the more we try to not experience whatever's going on, then the more intense the events become to get us to make the changes. Mm-hmm. Ideally, they do come from the inside out, not from the outside in. Mm-hmm. So, we can't, if we change it out here, it's kind of like trying to change your reflection in the mirror.
Right.
If you're like looking in a mirror and you're trying to change what you're seeing out over there, you're not doing it over here.
Exactly.
It's like, that's not going to work. Mm-hmm. You have to do it from within you. And as we really recognize that and embrace that and then say, okay, so if I'm seeing it out there, it's probably inside of me. So how do I change that inside of me so that when I'm looking in the mirror, I'm seeing a different reflection?
Exactly. Wow. So I'm assuming that maybe the archetypal energies could assist us in some way. And is there a way we can harness those energies and get some help? Because we could use
it. Yes, absolutely. So, each of the archetypal energies would have their own expression of sovereignty that's going to be different. And so we think of sovereignty in certain ways, but there's lots of different ways that can show up. Mm-hmm. And I just, for some reason, I'm thinking of this story, so I'm going to share it because, mm-hmm. Especially archetypal feminine, I think this is one of the most fierce, most sovereign expressions of feminine, and that is the goddess Sekhmet, who is a solar feminine goddess, lion-headed, right? And she is sent to Earth because it's a mess here.
Exactly.
And her job is to basically take out all the messy parts, right? Mm-hmm. Devour them. Mm-hmm. So, the way the story is told, she's like devouring the people, but maybe it's just the messy structures that aren't really working and she's devouring that. And she's doing it out of fierce love because it's not sustainable. What is happening in the world is not sustainable. Mm-hmm. And the story goes that her father, Ra, who's the sun god, mm-hmm. and Sekhmet wears a solar disc on her head, mm-hmm. so she's the sun goddess. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, I think that's enough. You can come on back now. I think they got
right.
We can't get her back.
Right.
And once he's unleashed that, it's like, yep, I'm doing this until it's done.
Oh, wow. Wow.
No, the story is that he goes to all the other gods and says, "What? How do I get her back?" She's like, "I can't stop her. I've unleashed this thing, and now it's like this process. I can't stop it." Mm-hmm. And so they decide to crush up pomegranates, mm-hmm. and put it in beer that looks like blood. And so she stops to drink what she thinks is blood. It's mm-hmm. beer. She gets mm-hmm. drunk. She passes out. And when she wakes up, she's Hathor, the goddess of love and beauty. That's
beautiful.
One of the stories told. Or when she wakes up, she's still Sekhmet. So mm-hmm. there's different versions of the story. Mm-hmm. And the first person she sees is Ptah, who mm-hmm. becomes her sacred consort. And together, they have a child named Nefertum, mm-hmm. who is the precursor to Asclepius, who is all about healing. So so they're coming together, that masculine, feminine coming together. The child that they have helps to heal.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah, so somehow it's like that fierce love, that fierce intensity, and kind of feels like we've had something unleashed on the world in the form of a virus that's mm-hmm. taking people out, taking mm-hmm. things out, taking out our economics, our government, our
all of it.
All of it's being taken out, right? Mm-hmm. The healthcare system, mm-hmm. right? So we could maybe imagine that that's what's going on. And that it's here to help us to create something new and different that wouldn't be possible if all those things hadn't been brought to our awareness and taken out, sort of dismantled, so to speak.
Exactly. So is there a way that we could, and maybe you can lead us in something where folks could feel into the different flavors of some of those archetypal energies, or even give them examples of how they could use them or harness them, even or, you know, any of them?
Yeah, I would be happy to do that. And, you know, because when you decided you were going to do this, I was like, I wonder how each of the signs expresses their sovereignty, and that they're going to be different. And also just, you know, the idea that there are certain archetypal energies that have been supported in the culture for women. And there's also certain archetypal energies that have been supported in the culture for men. They're different, of course. And if you're anything other than that, it's not really supported.
Right.
So if you're here to do something that's not supported, it can be really challenged to find your sovereignty around that. So what does that look like? So I'll just maybe invite people to whatever, in whatever way it allows you to tune in. If you want to like close your eyes and breathe into your belly, put your hand on your heart, because that helps connect you to your heart energy. And I'll just share these energies and how the different energies express sovereignty. And I'm feeling inspired to start with Leo, because of course Sekhmet is the lion-headed goddess and she is a queen and so on. So it feels like a good place to start. And then we'll just maybe go through a few of these and see how that feels. So, so Leo expresses sovereignty through discovering and embracing the power of self-love, self-sufficiency, self-confidence, self-acceptance, self-approval, and self-respect. And by showing up with their brilliance without attachment to being noticed. So this is possible because when healthy, they know they're shining their light, their love light, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening. It's just from that place of great love, they're shining that light into the world. And that their greatest sovereign gift is showing up as their radiant self. And in doing that, that inspires others to do the same. Because we're all divine, we're all an expression of the divine, and then that's what Leo is here to help lead with and helps inspire, not only once they have it inside, you have to have it from the inside out, once they have it inside themselves, then to have that as the expression that inspires everyone else to find their own unique expression of sovereignty. So, so again, that idea of self-love, self-acceptance, self-approval, self-sufficiency, those are the power gifts of Leo to be in that sovereign space. And then Virgo expresses sovereignty through their connection to the sacredness of life. And this is the seen and unseen expressions of sacredness. So there's some things that seem more obvious, seemingly more obvious, and then there's the things that we don't see, also sacred, that we can connect to. So it's really connecting into the sacred patterning of this reality and noticing when things are out of pattern or out of alignment and how to bring it back into alignment through sense of reverence and service and celebration, and also being with the sacred cycles, the seasons, the beginning of day, the ending of the day, the beginning of night, the moon phases, all of the different cycles that we can experience here on Earth. So that reverence, that service, and that celebration of the sacred is the ways that Virgo can express their sovereignty. Libra expresses sovereignty through a deep and profound relationship with self first. Because if you don't have a good relationship with yourself, you're not going to have a good relationship with anybody else. And they're about learning more about who they are through the interaction with others. So it's like that mirror effect. It's like you see yourself mirrored through the eyes of the other, and you learn more about who you are through that interaction. And so Libra's greatest sovereign gift is their ability to maintain personal balance while also honoring the contribution that each person brings when they're occupying their unique place on the wheel of life. And then Scorpio expresses sovereignty through passion, aliveness, connection to life force energy, whatever is a turn on, juicy, exciting, whatever lights you up. You know, when you're in that place, if you've got the Scorpio energy on your chart, strong on your chart, then it's like, how do you know if you're on the right track? Is it a turn on? Are you excited? Does this have energy for you? And so being excited about knowing where the edge of your own passion is, being enthusiastic, and connecting into experiences that excite that enthusiasm, getting as close to that as humanly possible. And so their greatest sovereign gift is surfing the energetic waves of life force energy and sourcing their own version of magical manifestation. And Sagittarius expresses sovereignty through their pursuing their own unique spiritual path and expanding consciousness, including expansion of truth. And this is, you know, we could say truth is experienced differently in different states of consciousness. So what's true for a 5-year-old is different than what's true for a 30-year-old or a 60-year-old. So as we grow and evolve, the truth of what, how we understand the truth is evolving and growing and changing as well. So in different states of consciousness, we're going to have a different experience of truth. So their greatest sovereign gift is expressing from their own enlightened awareness and shining a light on the deeper truth of who we really are. And then Capricorn will express sovereignty through their wise action that is designed to be effective and efficient and get the best results. So, living in a world where the structures of our reality are not efficient and they don't get that great of results except for maybe for a few, but for the greater whole, there's a lot of suffering that's going on. This is a place where we can bring greater awareness into how the gift of sovereignty is really about creating sustainable, practical, well thought out, wise structures that serve all life now and future generations. So it's sustainable in, not only for us now, but in, you know, into, for the generations to come. Mm-hmm. So should I continue or should we just end it there and maybe talk about something else? Because I can give this to people. I will give this to people so that mm-hmm. they can tune in to those. But those are a few to kind of get a sense of how each sign has a different mm-hmm. expression of sovereignty.
That was beautiful. I mean, I could really connect as you were describing. I could connect and get information from each one of them. So yes, I think our listeners would love to have that so that they could refer back to that. So I know that you teach the Venus alchemy. You teach all about Venus. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I consider her the sovereign queen of the cosmos. So what does she have to teach us about what's happening right now and how can she help?
Yeah, you know, it's really exciting what's going on with Venus right now. And so... she is definitely here to help us, and she is essentially, we could say, Venus goes through an entire cycle. It takes about 19 months for her to go through a descent into the underworld, die, be reborn, and go through ascent out of the underworld. So on the way in, she's releasing all the things that are in the way of her expressing more of her sovereignty. Mm-hmm. And then she has to die to who she thinks she is. Mm-hmm. And then she can be reborn to who she really is. And then on the ascent, she's reclaiming a healthy relationship with all the different ways we could say the chakras is, the descent is going, releasing things out of the chakras as she goes into the underworld. And then she's reclaiming a healthier relationship when she's coming out. And so currently the cycle that just began in June of 2020 and will last until January of 2022, the goddess that came onto the world stage was Gemini. Mm-hmm. And she is the rainbow goddess. So she's a messenger. She's a free electron. She's not from any one place. Mm-hmm. She can be from anywhere. She can go wherever she's needed. And she's serving spirit, but she does it through reminding us not to be so serious.
Right.
To have more fun, to play and to be creative and to tell a new story. So she is the new world storyteller. And one of the things that we are looking at is how the old stories that we've been telling ourselves, and I'm literally the idea of survival of the fittest, we've had since the late 1800s, and that has really structured our reality. Mm-hmm. And instead of the fact that it's not about competition, it's about cooperation and collaboration, mm-hmm. and how do we do this together? And that the more we work together, the more we can all thrive and not just survive, and it's not about a limited amount of resources. So how is she telling us this new story? And how are we dismantling that old story that has kind of robbed us of our sovereignty?
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. So this is the gift, and I love it because it's like we need this medicine now because we're kind of in a serious time.
Yeah.
So, right. So I mean, years ago, I decided that my intention was I wanted to have fun. Very Gemini, right?
Right.
My husband asked me when we were first dating. He said, what's the most important thing to you in relationship? And that's the answer I gave him. Fun. He mm-hmm. just stopped and looked at me and he goes, oh my God, that's brilliant. Like, you know, he was not expecting that, a completely off guard.
Right.
And so I, you know, I feel like this is something as we're dreaming into, the old is being dismantled. Things are not necessarily easy. And so on, but how can we have more fun and play with this and, you know, find the humor in it?
Right.
Laugh at ourselves, not take ourselves so seriously. And so she's really here to help us with that right now. Mm-hmm. And we need it.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so there are comedians that are out there that are like, you know, mm-hmm. saying the funny things that could be helpful. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's something even not about what's in the world situation. It's something mm-hmm. else that we want to mm-hmm. Look at and have more fun with and not right. be so serious about.
Wow.
So so she's definitely lightening up things if we invite her to do that with us mm-hmm. and to say, okay, I am committed to having more fun, to being more playful and to being less serious.
Beautiful. Yeah. So can people still sign up if they want to join you on this Gemini Venus journey? Can they still sign up and do that with you?
Yes, we've gone through the first two gates. There's eight gates altogether in the morning sky, mm-hmm. and then there'll be eight gates in the evening sky. So so we divide it up into the Morning Star journey. Morning Star has a whole unique meaning in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Then we prepare people for the underworld part of the journey where there's the death and rebirth process. Mm-hmm. But we kind of take a little break for a couple months. Mm-hmm. And then we take people through the evening star journey back through the seven gates with each chakra and how do mm-hmm. we, you know, where's Venus in the sky and how can we tune into that and, mm-hmm. you know, work within a ceremonial way as mm-hmm. a collective and individually. Mm-hmm. So yeah, people can definitely still sign up. Mm-hmm. We're still kind of towards the beginning of that cycle. And a lot of people have found it very helpful because it's a big community of people you can connect with and not mm-hmm. feel like you're just doing it by yourself.
Right.
And of course we know, and Gemini would like to probably remind us of this, that whatever we do, like from a place of quantum physics, mm-hmm. whenever we come together to do something with intention, it's exponentially increased
yes.
by the number of people that are also sharing that intention. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, and I know this is a big circle. So yeah. That's a very helpful tool that I think people, just because when I think of Venus, she knows the cycle that we're in right now. She does it over and over and over again. So if we can align with her, then this doesn't have to feel so scary. for us. We can.
Yes, thank you for saying that, because you just reminded me of something too, because this mm-hmm. is a unique cycle in that where Venus is connected with the North Node. And that all, you know, to be in the cycle of Gemini and to connect with the North Node in Gemini and to have this sort of, we could say, activation of the divine feminine destiny mm-hmm. to be more playful, creative, fun, you know, having mm-hmm. travel the rainbow, to be free, we could say a free electron. So mm-hmm. there's the idea that certain atoms have certain molecules and electrons and protons and neutrons and whatever. And some electrons are free to jump to another electron. That's the Gemini goddess. She's not like having to be in any one place. She can just go where she wants to go. It's like really about how do we cultivate that feeling of freedom? Mm-hmm. And with the North Node, it's like, how is that part of our destiny? How are we creating greater freedom in being our sovereign selves and being mm-hmm. who we're here to be the transition team?
Exactly. That's what we are.
We're the transition team. We came for this time. And I know a lot of people talk about it, but you know, when we look at the fact that we're at the turning of a 26,000 year cycle, way bigger than the, you know, the age of Aquarius, it's this huge turning of an age that's lasting for at least 72 years from 1962 to 2034. Mm-hmm. That's the smallest window, but there's a bigger window that it could possibly be from 1926 to 2070. And so we were born in this time. We came for this. We came right. to help with this transition. Mm-hmm. And so and we need to remember that and to have fun with it. Because yeah. it doesn't have to be like a heavy burden.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I really want us to get that. Like, no, let's make this fun and playful.
Exactly.
In the movie Fantasia, there's the part where the nature fairies are turning the seasons. Mm-hmm. They're dancing and playing and they're doing their work. They're creating the transition from spring to summer, from summer to fall, from fall to winter, back to spring again. Mm-hmm. And they're just playing the whole time. And when I remember seeing that with my kids years ago, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is how we're, you know, it's about the play. It's about doing what it is we're here to do, but having fun and playing with it, not just having to be serious about it.
Absolutely. Kaylin, this has been such a delight, so uplifting and so helpful, practical and helpful.
Yay.
Thank you for that. Thank you for reminding us of maybe what we already knew, but maybe what we needed to be reminded of, that we do have help and that all we have to do is tap in. If folks, you also do readings. If folks want to get a reading with you, do they just connect with you through your website?
Yeah, they can do that. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. When you sign up for the free gift, you'll get on my newsletter list, and I send out pretty much once a month. Cool. Something about what's going on in the sky, and
perfect.
People can contact me that way too. And yeah,
beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for sharing your wisdom of the stars, as always.
My pleasure, and it was so much fun.
It was fun.